anyway, so I'm not sure why they aren't here.
Yeah. Just paying attention to the last argument, I think notice tells us we show up half an hour early.
Too. Oh, absolutely. And there are times that we actually start early, so.
I've been there.
I bet you have. Well, actually, I think we just proceed. I don't think we wait. So, I will note that the time, it looks like it's 11:30, so we're already 15 minutes late from the scheduled time. So I think we should commence. This is the State of Minnesota versus Cody Douglas Thurston. And counsel, I assume you're the appellant?
Yes, I am.
All right. And we don't have an appearance by the respondent here today. And like I noted earlier, we're already running 15 minutes late. So I will assume there'll be no appearance today by the respondent. But you may proceed. Please introduce yourself prior to beginning your oral argument. And you will have 15 minutes, apparently, with unrebutted oral argument this morning. And if you need to adjust the podium, please feel free to do so.
May it please the court, my name is Eric Withall. I'm an attorney with the Minnesota Appellate Public Defender's Office. I appear before this court today representing the appellant in this matter, Cody Douglas Thurston. The remedy we're asking for here today, Your Honors, is a reverse and remand to the district court for resentencing based on a criminal history score of 4 rather than the current sentence, which is based on a criminal history score of 5. Mr. Thurston's criminal history score of 5 is based on a single conviction for first-degree criminal sexual conduct that he pled guilty to in 1999. It's 20 years ago. The court placed him on probation for 30 years and discharged Mr. Thurston after a demonstration of successful participation in rehabilitation on probation following 10 years of probation. And then almost a decade later, Mr. Thurston committed the offense, which is use of minor in sexual performance, based on the conduct of sending and presumably receiving sexually inappropriate text messages between himself and a 16-year-old boy.
Well, could I just, I just want to clarify what you're arguing here today. If we accept the sentencing guidelines as set forth, you're not arguing that this calculation is wrong.
Nope, no,
Your Honor. All right. So, but you're really arguing against what is set forth in the sentencing guidelines, correct?
I'm arguing that the application of the sentencing guidelines here is contrary to the intent of the Guidelines Commission in enacting those separate provisions and runs afoul of the well-established judicial principle preventing double punishment.
Just to clarify, you're not making any constitutional argument here today.
No constitutional arguments, Your Honor.
And so what would be the legal basis for us reversing the district court's decision?
It is because the two separate enhancements applied to Mr. Thurston's criminal history score are on the same basis. Mr. Thurston's criminal history score of 5 is based on an aggregation of his felony points, which is determined by the severity of his prior offense, and custody status points, which is based on the fact that he committed his current offense, though discharged from probation, within the original 30-year probationary term originally imposed by the court in 1999. The felony weight for first-degree criminal sexual conduct is designated with the letter A, and that means that ordinarily, if an individual commits a subsequent crime, that first-degree criminal sexual conduct weighs 2 points. The language of the guideline says if the prior offense is on the sex offender grid and the current offense is on the sex offender grid, it's not 2 points, it's 3 points. What that language, the prior offense on the sex offender grid and the current offense on the sex offender grid, is intended to punish sexual recidivism, and for no other reason. There's no other reason that his points are 3 rather than 2, but for the fact of sexual recidivism. And then because he committed, and then he gets the custody status point, because he committed this offense within 30 years of his 1999 conviction, He gets a custody status point. And there is a little known provision in the custody status point section. It says that if your prior offense, and this language is actually very important because it's mirrored, the prior offense that he was on probation for was on the sex offender grid, and the current offense is on the sex offender grid, you don't get one custody status point, you get an extra custody status point, two custody status points. He gets five points in his criminal history score for one conviction 20 years ago. And the only way to do that is to apply sexual recidivism twice to impose two separate enhancements to the otherwise presumptive score of 3. 2 points for the criminal sexual conduct, 1 point for the custody status point. It's the same. It's the same aggravating. It's not an aggravating factor. It's not a departure. It is an application of the same enhancement to justify adding two separate single point provisions.
Counsel, doesn't the criminal history score and the custody status don't they serve two separate purposes in sentencing?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Let's get the nomenclature correct. The criminal history score is the aggregation of all of the points that you get. The felony points is determined by the severity of the prior offense, and then that gets a weight. And the custody status point punishes people who committed their offense within the original probationary term, and an aggregation of those points calculates the criminal history score. The felony weight is increased because of sexual recidivism. The custody status point is similarly increased because of sexual recidivism. It's actually very interesting because if, for example, Mr. Thurston had committed second-degree murder in 1999, went to prison and got out and committed this crime, his criminal history score would be 2. Because he served an executed sentence, he would get 2 points. If he had committed second-degree murder in 1999, got probation and was discharged early, just like he did for the crim sex, he would have 3 points.
But aren't you really contesting what has been a policy consideration by the commission, as well as the legislature in delegating this authority to the commission to come up with these guidelines? So in that it's a policy determination, how can we as an error-correcting court correct what you believe is an error?
I would not ask this court to legislate from the bench. I am asking the court to apply the authority vested in this court by the legislature in Minnesota Statutes 24411 Subdivision 2B that authorizes this court to review, it's a whole long list, unfair sentences. And I'm asking this court to apply this court's jurisprudence, this court's principle, the prohibition against double punishment.
Well, and I think that one point that was made by the respondent's brief is that this was done by the commission in recognition of the dangers to the public presented by repeated sex offenders. I think that was the policy reason for it.
I am unsure if that's in respondent's brief. That block quote is certainly in mine.
Okay.
And so, I recognize that, and I use that quote from the comments to the section adding the custody status point, the second custody status point, to identify it was intentional to use sexual recidivism as an enhancement to the base criminal history score. But I don't think that the Guidelines Commission contemplated 5 points for a single offense 20 years ago when the subsequent offense was committed 8 or 9 years after he was successfully discharged from probation.
Well, but the reason he gets the extra point is because even if he was discharged, the probation is still ongoing, right?
No, the probation is not ongoing. He has been discharged from probation. He can no longer experience a consequence for his conduct for violating any conditions of probation. He is off probation 10 years. It's 2009, this is discharge. Discharged. He's successfully completed probation early. The guidelines contemplate that if you're within the original probationary term, they don't want to reward people for getting off probation early and committing another crime. But, you know, it's also very interesting. The guidelines...
I'm sorry, just to clarify then, the application of the 5 points is entirely consistent with the guidelines.
100% consistent with the guidelines.
Even though he's off probation, the extra custody point is consistent with the guidelines.
As ridiculous as it sounds, yes, it is.
And so the district court properly applied the guidelines.
100%, Your Honor, except to the extent that it directly conflicts with this court's prohibition against double punishment.
And what case law are you citing to suggest that we have the authority to reverse the decision?
Shattuck, Osborne, Myers, Lindsay, Peek.
But aren't you really asking us to
Erickson.
Revise the sentencing guidelines?
No, Your Honor. We're asking this court to apply its judicial principle to the calculation of Mr. Thurston's criminal history score, and that it was not contemplated in the guidelines that he would get that enhancement applied twice, that rather, in most cases, and actually, here, take a look at this grid. I made it here. I'm very proud of my grid. But
it's a beautiful grid, counsel.
It's to illustrate this point. So it's on the
page 8.
Thank you. I appreciate that you're looking at it. So you see here in for severity A, B, and C offenses, there's an increase in the points. That's not actually applied to D through H. So there are circumstances where you'll get the custody status point enhancement for sexual recidivism, but you won't get the enhancement to the weight of the prior felony. And there's other circumstances where you'd get the enhancement for the weight of the prior felony, but not receive the custody status point enhancement. So I think that it wasn't contemplated that they could have the sexual recidivism enhancement that appears in two different provisions apply twice. It's entirely reasonable that they really just overlooked it. And have you? I would ask this court to reflect upon its judicial experience and knowledge of the case. There are no other cases where this has happened.
Well, and I was going to ask you too. Is there any other case that you can point to where the presumptive sentence is given in accordance with the sentencing guidelines, and our court has intervened and said, well, we don't, I mean, even though it's within the presumptive guidelines as set forth in the presumptive sentence within the guidelines on any basis where our court has not affirmed that?
No, Your Honor. I'm saying the guidelines say that he gets 5 points. The plain language of the guidelines say he gets 5 points. There's
the thing
a judicial
I'm struggling with is to find is I don't see any authority for us to reverse the district court, because the cases you cite I think are distinguishable because they involve a departure from the guidelines, and here the court sentenced your client in accordance with the guidelines.
I would ask this court to read these cases in the light that those cases reviewing departures are applying the general principle prohibiting double punishment, and that those cases are just an application of that principle. We're asking this court to apply this general principle to another circumstance that's also analogous, the double application of an enhancement factor.
But don't we have to assume that the commission knew what they were doing when they put this together? Because as you acknowledge, one, this is the 5 points is consistent with the sentencing guidelines, and two, I forgot what the second point was, but it was important.
No, we don't assume that they know what they were doing. They make oversights all the time. One recent example is recognized in Oreskovich. This is a 2018 decision published at this court where they recognized that there was an oversight where actually it was for this custody status point enhancement. And in 1 year, they renumbered the guidelines and kind of reorganized things, and they reorganized it in a way that actually said that you don't get that second custody status point based on sexual recidivism. So no, I don't think that there's an oracle nature that they're far seeing into the future in every circumstance here.
Fair enough, and the second point was, shouldn't we assume that they knew what they were doing and they intended to give more points to sexual recidivists?
I think they absolutely intended to give an enhancement for sexual recidivism. I don't think that they intended to give two separate enhancements on the same basis. I think that they failed to foresee a circumstance where it could be applied in this manner.
And how are we to infer that error?
Because I think that the Guidelines Commission is composed of members who are aware of this court's case law and judicial doctrines and the prohibition against double punishment. They're tasked in 24409 expressly with creating a guidelines that embodies proportionality, uniformity, rationality, and predictability. And that's also reflected in Section 1A of the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines as well. And that an application, a double application of these two separate enhancements on the same basis is neither rational, it's not proportional, it's not uniform, it's not predictable.
You referenced earlier, what was it, for the murder, that occurs there as well? Isn't that an analogous case?
It does not occur there in murder cases.
No. It does not occur.
You can commit multiple murders, and there is no enhancement provision, to my knowledge, where you get there can be an aggravating factor for violent recidivism. That's what they talked about in 2015 at the Supreme Court in Myers. And they talked, that's a codified aggravating factor and things like that. That's why I'm conceding that sexual recidivism is a legitimate basement to do enhancement. There are no other enhancements of this type in the guidelines, and it has never happened, to my knowledge, in review of all appellate cases and and talking to all the attorneys in my office.
And I just want to summarize your argument. So you're not arguing that this calculation was done correctly under the literal wording of the guidelines?
I'm arguing that it is under the literal words. That's right. Yes. Yes.
All
short
right.
answer, yes.
But you are arguing, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just
please
for
do.
Purposes of how I deal with this case, you are arguing that notwithstanding those literal words, that the commission did not intend for this result.
That's correct, because it runs afoul of the well-established judicial principle barring double punishment on the same basis.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Interesting, very interesting case. Thank you.
You don't want to talk to me for 5 more minutes?
Well, I'd like to, but unfortunately our rules don't allow it. So. Thank you. And thank you for being here on time today. And early.